crosses in front of the sun is a solar eclipse, of course. Has anyone seen that?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the astronomers think it's a coincidence that both the moon and the sun are relatively the same diameter in size, in the disk size, half a degree in width. And if you hold your fist out, the width of your fist in the sky is 10 degrees. So if you were to measure, the sun and the moon would be like a 20th of the diameter of your fist if you ever kind of timed it. But never look at the sun directly anyway. A solar eclipse can only happen during a new moon. Because in a new moon, here's the Earth. Let's say your head is the sun, and well, Mita's head is the Earth. And let's say this is the moon, and I'm going round the Earth. Okay? So, whenever the moon is new, it's there. When the moon is full, it's on the other side of Mita's head. You'd have to sit forward a bit. But why don't we see a solar eclipse every new moon? Because the angle of the moon's orbit is at 5.14 degrees to the angle of the apparent path of the sun. So basically, the moon is going like that. I'm exaggerating it. So it may be a new moon, but slightly above the Earth or below the Earth in alignment, so we can't quite see it in front of the sun. Approximately every 5 and a bit months, it will be in alignment, because an eclipse can happen if there's a new moon in roughly within about 8 to 80, depends on the size of the moon, in fact, depends on about 8 to 18 degrees on each side of the crossing over point of the sun and the moon's orbit. So let's say the moon crosses the sun's path there, right? That's going to miss it when it's a new moon. But let's say the moon's orbit crosses the sun here, bang on in alignment with the sun, then it'll be exactly in alignment. Just remember it's got to be in alignment. When the moon is full, it's on the other side of the Earth. But again, why don't we see the moon covered up? In a lunar eclipse, it's technically when the moon is bang on the other side of the Earth to the sun, because we only see the moon from the reflected light of the sun. The moon doesn't radiate any light of its own. It's a mirror. So, if the moon is full and slightly above or below the Earth, we see it, it's full. But if it's right behind the Earth's disk, then it's a lunar eclipse. And it will appear, and it will last about 4 to 5 hours. And that is the passage of the moon as it's moving behind the Earth before it, you know, comes back on the other side, on the other limb. And everyone on this side of the back of the Earth, the night time of the Earth, will see the moon darkening. It will first go, it will seem to go darker and then go red. And it will go red because it's being lit by the reflected light from the Earth itself. The Earth is absorbing the light, scattering it. It bounces off and bounces back on off the moon. So there's, in some cultures said, the blood moon, you know, which would happen when it's particularly red. Now, what does this all mean? It's not just some random thing. Eclipses are moments when certain beings from the cosmos are not interacting with the Earth and the human race. Effectively, we are guided and protected all the time by beings of light. It doesn't matter if you can't see them, they're there all the time. And they are coming through the activity of the sun. Right. The sun is like a guide for some higher part of us. And it's not the same as night. When the sun is covered up by the moon itself, even though it's only going to be visible in certain locations, the whole Earth is affected, the whole of the human race. During that moment, certain forces from the sun cannot reach the Earth. And therefore, the human race becomes unprotected. And what then can rise out of the depths, out of the subconscious? Dark forces. demonic forces, Ahrimanic forces, shadow forces, past life karma, ancestral karma, unresolved stuff, all kinds of stuff rises out of the memories, personal, collective, whether you're conscious of it or not. And for a moment in your life, not like a moment, I mean, for that period of your life, you have to face it by yourself. And it's rather like saying, you know, when you're training children, at some point you get them to walk by themselves and therefore potentially fall and injure themselves, ride the bike, you know, and support it. Similarly, the human race are temporarily made to become stronger during an eclipse. So this is a good opportunity to do some of these techniques. Now, the solar eclipse is going to happen, therefore, when there's a new moon from this lunar eclipse. So in a couple of weeks, there's a solar eclipse. It will be visible. I think it's 2nd of November, I think, Saturday or something then. It will only be visible in a certain trajectory in Africa, but it doesn't matter if it affects everyone. The lunar eclipse before the solar eclipse, a couple of weeks before, prepares the human race. The subconscious rises. The solar eclipse is then when the peak intensity of it occurs. And then there is sometimes, I have to double check this one, but whether there is going to be, sometimes you see another lunar eclipse 2 weeks after the solar eclipse. I can't remember if there's one for this one. So you get the theory. Now, one of the things, therefore, is memories. The moon rules memories, generally. And, of course, sometimes we use this kind of terminology, reflect, self-reflection, to look at the mirror, to look at yourself in the mirror. And that is a kind of symbolic thing, is often to see inside your own subconscious. And most people don't have enough strength to self-reflect. Because in your self-reflection, buried in your memories, in your past lives, are all kinds of guilt trips, unresolved issues, rigid patterns, and so on. So let's ask for a stack load of memories to come up from now for the rest of this month. And let's see if you can really go through your life memories and process stuff. This is a good opportunity to see what an eclipse energy does to you. Is that okay? And what do people sometimes do during a full moon? Not us, but, you know, other people. Lunacy. They go mad. Yeah. Well, no, they go mad. Lunacy, you know, increased crime, mental illness, relapse of schizophrenia, hysteria, you know, depression. So if you think any of that might happen to you, we'll have to do some techniques, you know, to stabilize your mind before 9:45. Before you go. So, okay, I'll talk you through it. So visualize then. And just for a moment, just observe and watch your breath. Just let go of the events of the day. Any running around of today. You are here now. And notice that your body may feel heavier than normal, often on an eclipse day. Particularly lunar eclipse, you get a deeper sense of the heaviness of the earth, the weight of living. So imagine that your whole body physically, your physical body is full of memories. Memories are stored in everywhere, in your tissues, your organs, in parts of your body, in the chakras. And and many of these memories may be obsolete now, ready to be released. So imagine you're holding in your mind's eye a flashlight, a torch, and a mirror. And the mirror helps you amplify the light by reflection. So use the flashlight and the mirror to look in specific parts of your body, any particular parts that you felt have been causing you symptoms, any illness in those body parts, and ask to be shown any memories that now need to be released, like a moving image of memories. It's a full moon, so imagine the moon is giving you some of that light, like a torch, into your very body. In particular, focusing on your stomach area, solar plexus, ask to be shown through the light of the moon any memories you have absorbed from your mother, early childhood nurturing experiences stored in your solar plexus, and ask to heal anything. Ask the moon to heal anything it needs to. Allow yourself to release any limiting or negative experiences you thought you had with your mum. Allow the moon to heal it, to raise it to a higher level of nurturing. Perhaps forgive your mum for anything. Healing to your mum. complete by imagining in your solar plexus now there is a new sort of substance like an ectoplasm, colloidal silver, like a gel or a foam made of silver, and it's filling up your solar plexus with new nutrition, new etheric life force, and it's coming from the moon. Visualize that silvery foam filling up your solar plexus. Made of the earth, of course, the mineral component. We're going to now imagine in this meditation a kind of demarcation line at your solar plexus or waist, and the lower half of your body, imagine, is ruled by the moon and is like within the moon's, like an image of the moon's globe, and your lower half is in the moon, and the upper half of your body is in the sun, the influence of the sun. So the union of the sun and the moon, the ancients always saw that as the union of all kinds of things, of the mother and the father principle. In astrology, the father is often symbolized by the sun in the chart, not always, and the moon by the symbolizes the mother. The moon regulates the past, all your past timeline, and the sun, all your future, you know, your future goals and destinies and future lives and what's going to happen. So you're in the present. You're constantly receiving these impulses. Now, if someone's moon and sun forces don't interact very well, then it causes quite a lot of problems in the present. Say, past karma blocks their future, or whatever. A good example is in relating to people. Let's say two people in a committed relationship or marriage. Ideally, the moon of one person should be in harmony with the sun of the other person, and vice versa, conversely for, you know, each one, because that gives a sense of a union of opposites and harmony. But let's say the moon and the sun weren't interacting at all, not meaningfully in the chart, they would often be two people who don't really see what the other person's about. They can't quite flow and gel. So you see the idea that can happen within yourself. So in this technique, we're going to imagine those balls, and then we're going to make the balls start oozing and merging in the middle, and imagining that the sun is bringing healing from your future and the moon healing of your past, and it heals something in you in the present. Okay. Sorry? And in the moon, when it's a full moon, you often get creepy crawlies. Sorry, don't I? I'll wash my hands. I've now got karma. I'm going to incarnate as a centipede. Okay, so visualize again in your chair. Again, putting your focus on your solar plexus and on your backbone, as if you've got a column of light running up and down your backbone, vertebral column, spinal cord. And there are energies in your backbone going up, forces of light through your crown and up, and forces moving down through your base and into the earth. Imagine that the higher up you go in your consciousness, in how you imagine, the further down you also go into the earth itself. So first, ask to see whether you're happy to move down below your body as well as high up. Often there's a mismatch where people are more happy to fly out of their body upwards, but they're not so comfortable moving down into the earth. So try to imagine those paths are both equal, like an elastic band or a seesaw. Imagine the lower half of your body, waist and below, is within the moon's orb or sphere, a silvery grey full moon. And do the same for the upper half of your body, is in the sun sphere, golden. Try to imagine now the moon and the sun interacting, communicating like a two-way merging in the middle of your body, the midline or waist. Sensing or imagining also the sun carries your future and the moon your past. Imagining therefore that in your present, at solar plexus and now at heart level, you are being challenged to be more in the present, to deal with the forces of the past and the future as they merge with your present. Or imagine that what you do in the present changes your past and your future. sense that the story of your life is written somewhere and it's in the Akashic records, a place like a library of higher knowledge in the spiritual world. So become aware that we're going to then travel to the Akashic records next as you come back. What we'll do now, before we go into anything like the Akashic Records, I thought would strengthen your ability to change the past and the future. Now, some of you may remember that timeline technique. So just to recap, you imagine, and we can visualize this at the solar plexus. I think that's a good place for, you know, a lot of the meditations this evening. And you imagine a horizontal line stretching, I mean it could be that way or this way, it doesn't matter, in your mind's eye. And you imagine a ball of light and it splits, and as it the balls roll outwards, say they're rolling for you, you know, in your direction, often when they're rolling towards that side, which is your left, have I got that right? No, your left, isn't it? Then, you know, which means this way, you know, then that's going towards the past, isn't it? So for you, it's this way. Yeah. Right, so for us lot, it's going this way. For everyone else, it's going that way, you know, that way. Your left, and that's rolling, yeah, out to the present, past. And as the ball rolls out to the past, it's dropping off anything that is in the present, right now, in your energy field, but actually belongs to the past. An example could be an early childhood experience. It doesn't have to be that bad, but let's say you've got memories of things that are unfinished. And when you put these energies back in the right time, they can finish, they can complete what they were going to try and do. A lot of people are frozen with bits of the past in their presence. So you're sending energies back to the right place. Meanwhile, the ball rolling out to your right is going into, in that way, is going to the future, and as it does so, it's rolling into your future experiences, and you ask that anything in the present that actually belongs in the future, you leave it there. What could that be? Well, a lot of people plan ahead, don't they? They set goals, agendas, expectations, desires, hopes, dreams, you know. And as they keep living these hopes, they're actually not living in the present. They're living in the future, which isn't happened yet. So what you do is you send the energies into the future, and then you're happy to live in uncertainty. And then when the future does happen, what you actually wanted to happen will happen because you put that energy there. So most people basically are walking around with lots of the past and the future all entangled. You don't even need to know what the details of it. You just visualize those balls and you create the intention that you're dropping off anything in the present that belongs to the correct places in the past and the future. At some point, the balls stop rolling and move, roll back. And as they do, you then say, I retrieve anything in the past or the future that actually belongs to the present. Because as you can imagine, something, some point in your past, you were planning for the present. But because you were planning that in the past, that means you haven't got that energy in the present, which means you can't do it. So you're retrieving some energy that helps you complete your present. You get the idea? And often things in the future belong to the past, i.e. to now, to the present, because they are times in the future you're going to look back to now in your life and think, I should have done that, with that future perspective. So why don't you bring that energy now to the present? Again, don't worry, you just create the intention. Now, if you're really good at it, which is possible but unlikely, but if you are, then you can break out of the horizontal line of this incarnation itself and roll into your past lives and future lives.
Is it like bowling?
Huh?
Is it like bowling?
Yeah, you shoot the ball all the way through the bowling ring outside into another life itself. And when you do that, you'll start doing all kinds of magical things. You'll rewrite your past and your future lives. So let's see how far some of you may get. I've noticed, though, sometimes what often happens is people start rolling their balls out and they just keep rolling and they don't come back because they don't want to live in the present. So this is also a bit diagnostic. Or sometimes the ball doesn't want to roll in one direction because they really don't want to look inside their past, for example. Yeah? So whatever you see or feel is meaningful. Okay, so imagine now, again, maybe putting your focus both on the heart and the solar plexus now. And again, really imagine in your mind's eye the following words: I am the soul. I am the higher self. I am the spirit. You're no longer just the lower self. Say those words again. I am the soul. I am the higher self. I am the spirit. And just like the higher self or soul, that means you can see into your timeline, into your past and your future selves. So visualize that horizontal line now in the middle of your body, running to infinite past on the left and infinite future on the right, and a ball of light in the middle, in the present. At some point, the ball splits into two balls, which then roll outwards, one rolling to the past and the other to the future. As that happens, in your mind's eye, intend that the balls carry any energies from the present and drop them off into the past or the future where they belong. they do in the centre. Intend that any energies from the past or the future return those energies that belong to the present. Return with the balls. Back into the center. They collapse, the line folds, and just feel for a moment what it feels like to be still in the present, as if you've created a space now for you to be more in the present. What have happened in, you know, it's a good example, is the memories of, and the whole karmic lesson at the time of the injury can come up. Things you weren't conscious of start coming up. That's our point when you're bringing up memories. You're not just bringing up the way you remembered it, you're bringing up stuff you couldn't see before. So now what we'll do is, if... You know, they're going back to the moon, aren't they? Moon missions, that they kind of, if you think in conspiracy sense, they never really stop going. But anyway, if NASA, private space companies, or whatever, if they land on the moon and they put up a flag and they say, this is American territory, you know, can they do that? Is it legal to own a piece of the moon? Politically, it's not. There's a treaty. The moon treaty, that the moon belongs to the whole human race. Okay, it's the same as the Antarctic. No one can actually have rights over the Antarctic. But what you can imagine is that you do actually have a piece of the moon. Etherically, each of us, each soul, is connected to a particular part of the moon. Now, there are all kinds of complex things that we'll only really know in future lives and so on. For example, at the very moment of your birth, when you're about to incarnate onto the Earth, you pass through the moon on your way to the Earth, and you land on the moon, on the far side of the moon, which you can't see because the moon is always facing the same side, more or less. You go through the far side of the moon, you go through the moon, and you jump off the near side to arrive on Earth. Now, what part of the near side of the Earth is particularly facing you is called the terminator. That's the part of the moon, the line where the shadow meets the light. You know, because you've got a moon phase, haven't you? Let's say you've got a quarter moon. That straight line, it's not a straight line, it's a curved line. Along that line, it's constantly moving, that line, because the moon is, you know, rotating, the sun is, everything moving. But that line is where you jump off. So technically you could print your moon phase at the moment, the minute of your birth, and that will give you a sense of where you were on the moon. And often the craters, the mountain ranges, the mares or the seas, they're not actual water, but specific craters particularly along that terminator line have a meaning to you. But again, you know, don't worry about that. So what we'll do is we'll go to the moon, ask to go to your real estate on the moon, your property, and underneath that, like a basement, etherically as it were, physically, is stored your memories, your subconscious. The moon holds the memories of everyone on Earth. Now, if you were to look in your memory banks on the moon under the surface, etherically, most people would see a lot of real heavy garbage. So in effect, the moon is like a wasteland, a refuse heap of memories, and it's getting older and more sclerosed and diseased because of it. And there's 95% of the beings, entities and spiritual beings, as it were, that you can't see but are living on the moon, are what we would say evil, demons, vampires and stuff. 5% are beings of light, gods and goddesses. And this was known about throughout culture. The Egyptians called the moon gods Isis and Osiris, for example, and the evil god Seth. You know, so there's lots of naming. But don't worry, the 5% of the good beings on the moon far outweigh their empowers, the 95% of the darkness. But now it's your turn. The gods are departing from the moon, and now the human race has to take control of the moon memories and overcome the dark beings on there. So from now, over the next 50,000 years, we have to clean up the moon's memories. Just as we are trying to now recognize we've been putting all this landfill in the earth, and we have to clean the earth itself, we now have to clean the moon as well. There's a lot of memory landfill, literally. And you might think 50,000 years, that's a long time. I can start later. I'll start in like 20 lifetimes from now. It doesn't work like that. Because every life, you've got a stack load of memories to clear, and you can't just build it up. You'll never catch up. And what would happen to those people who don't clear the memories, their memories on the moon? What might happen to them in a future life? They'll go mad, and they'll be overcome by their memories, and the memories will manifest as demons and entities, and that you won't have to see, but many people will have to. Think of it like, you know, when have you ever seen an alcoholic going through DTs, delirium tremors, and they see monsters and phantoms? Have you heard of that? They start seeing things. They're seeing their own subconscious, in fact. Things that they couldn't see before, they start seeing. And it's a temporary thing. So we're all going to be able to see our subconscious. In a future life, future lives, the subconscious will no longer be hidden from our physical gaze. Everyone will be able to see clearly in their subconscious as clearly as you see each other. So you want to clean up your subconscious by then. And let's see what it looks like then. Okay, so visualize again you're in your column of light, but now you can also imagine a bubble around you. And in fact, not just a bubble, ask to activate your Merkaba. This is a word, it means your spiritual, your soul traveling journey, your vehicle for traveling. Merkaba is like a personal aircraft, a vehicle of light in which you can journey in consciousness. And often it feels like a series of pyramids around you, or a diamond-shaped body of light. Tonight, imagine imagine that the full moon and the moon eclipse means that the moon has opened up more of its memory banks for each of us to look at. And it's as if the moon isn't very far away now, it's closer to the earth etherically. So imagine a vehicle of light like a diamond shaped Merkaba spinning rapidly, allowing you to teleport to the moon, to land on the moon, to your specific real estate there, part of the moon which holds your past memories. Have a visual image of that part of the moon. And if you can, imagine you've got a spade of white light or similar instrument, and you can dig into the moon surface to look at the memories underneath. So start digging for your memories. As you do so, sense that you are becoming stronger at facing yourself. At taking responsibility for your own self, for your past. Some of the memories seem hard to excavate. You can even imagine you've got a pneumatic drill of white light and you're drilling into the moon surface. Ask the moon goddess, as it were, to be allowed to bring back any of the memories you dug up, to bring them back to your earth life, so you can face them and deal with them during your life on earth over the next month. Taking some of the burden out of the moon, therefore. as that spinning Merkaba slowing down around you. You've got stuff to do now.